Thomas Phippen of the Glenwood Springs Post-Independent. Thanks for joining me for the news brief.
So great to be here, Amy.
You are in the thick of DUI trials, it seems. The first one ended Monday with some bad news for Rifle resident Cody Christopher. Talk about that case.
It was a really tragic case. Rifle rollover near New Year's Eve, December 28th into the 29th at midnight. Back roads on Pumapaw Ranch. This Ford Excursion tipped over. There were four people in the car, Cody Christopher, two of his friends, and one 10-year-old boy. And Cody Christopher's two friends died. Cody Christopher survived. So did the 10-year-old boy, but he had terrible injuries. And it was quite a gruesome wreck and really shook up the community of Rifle. And the case itself was really difficult. He had a lot of conflicting narratives, witnesses who contradicted each other. And it was very tough to figure out who was right and who was more trustworthy. So I really don't envy the jury in making their decision, but they decided that he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of two counts of vehicular homicide and DUI, as well as vehicular assault and child abuse.
You write in Monday's article that the jury delivered a guilty verdict, but you write that the evidence presented was inconsistent.
A lot of the witnesses' statements, particularly from the first responders, had some inconsistencies in them. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of unanswered questions that by the end of the trial, you still are not really exactly sure what happened. For one example, the first Garfield County sheriff who arrived on scene gave a different timeline from the first EMT who arrived on scene and the EMT who was with Cody Christopher the whole time,
wow.
Just in terms of who was arriving first and whatnot. And I understand it's a chaotic scene, still inconsistent. So it was tough to get the whole story.
Well, it seems odd to me that if there were inconsistencies, how the jury delivered a guilty verdict. I mean, do you think the jury based its decision on Cody Christopher's testimony?
Yeah, obviously there's any jury has to decide which witness and which evidence is the most trustworthy, and how they weigh it is completely in their hands. That's mm-hmm. that's their job. Mm-hmm. Cody Christopher himself, you know, on the night of the accident, right after when he was interviewed by Garfield sheriffs and particularly Colorado State Patrol troopers, you know, he said that he had been driving. He was in the driver's seat. And when he testified in his own trial, which was a little bit of a surprise, it's always a risky move. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, he could not truly remember whether he was in the driver's seat at the time or not. But he did remember that, or he testified rather, that someone in the car switched places. And so the defense's theory was that Cody Christopher switched places with the person in the passenger seat. And so that was the driver.
He was still found guilty.
Right. He was still found guilty. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that, you know, a defense that one of the victims, one of the persons who died was actually the driver. I can't imagine that that was without evidence that that was viewed favorably.
Were there any issues around the handling of the case or the handling of evidence?
You know, there were a couple of just odd things. The second day of trial, based on someone's testimony, the prosecutors came into the courtroom and said, hey, we found this report that was written by a Garfield County sheriff, and we just didn't think to look in the Garfield County system since it was a state patrol case. So that was really odd, you know, that they just didn't have a report from one of the very first people who was on the scene. And the judge said, you know, that's really shoddy workmanship. There are some other ones. The state patrol wanted a blood sample from as soon as possible after the accident. So they went to Grand River Hospital, where Christopher was taken immediately after the wreck to be treated for head injuries. And they got a warrant for the blood for 8 vials. The hospital technicians delivered 7 to the state trooper. And somehow in between when the hospital handed them over and when they got to the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, somehow a bunch of other blood got into that. So in the bag, just imagine 7 vials of blood in a bag with other blood around it loose. It's just fishy.
So you know? The evidence was contaminated.
that was definitely the defense's case. The technicians who analyzed the blood said that they couldn't determine where the blood had come from in the bag.
You said that you heard from his supporters via email. What were they saying to you?
Yeah, a lot of his friends believe that he was mistreated by the prosecution and by the investigators. You know, investigators arriving at his hospital bed where he, according to his mother, he was completely out of it, you know, not making sense, incoherent, babbling. And so his friends believe that the State Patrol really mistreated him by interrogating him in that weakened state. And since then, you know, with some of the mistakes and the missing reports and some of the evidentiary things, they really thought that he didn't get a fair shake in the courtroom.
How you describe what went on in the courtroom sort of reminds me of the Keystone Cops.
There were a lot of mistakes, and it's not just the prosecutors either. The defense attorney, in his opening statement, which he did in the middle of the trial before presenting his evidence, he messed up Cody Christopher's name, called him by the last names of the two who died.
So Cody Smith, Cody Johnson.
Exactly. And that happened a couple times. So I know we're all human, but one would hope that there would be a lot more care put into it.
Thomas Phippen of the Post Independent, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Amy.
That does it for this week's News Brief on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.